Finally, I've got somebody who can really play golf in this studio. And he isn't wearing a yellow shirt.
Here we go. Starting already, people.
It's crowded in here today. Bobby McKillop has wandered into the studio. Literally wandered in. Brady Beaton is here as well. We won't hear much from Brady in segment one, but it's going to basically be Brady's show after that. And Brian Bowman is here as soon as McKillop is done doing whatever he's going to do.
Hi, Brady.
Here. I'm dead inside.
Hi, Brady.
Hello.
Hi, Brady.
Hello.
Hi, Brady.
Hi, Superior Athlete Bobby.
There we go. There we go. Welcome to the show. I should have just sat on my
couch. I'm glad you came
it's
in.
It's good to see you, Brady. It's good to see you.
We'll have lots to talk about later, but Brian Bowman is here, and he's on a tight schedule, guys, so quit goofing off. All right.
Very tight schedule.
Let's backpedal just real quick and tell me about the men's invitational over at the Elks. Seven playoffs, I understood?
Seven playoffs this year. 44th annual event, 118 teams. And when we're all said and done after the flighting of 12 flights, anywhere from 8 to 11 teams in each flight, probably the hardest thing to do is flight everybody from top to bottom and get the teams in a flight that they belong in, and hopefully you don't miss on the high end or the low end. But we had seven playoffs this year, three of them for first place.
So it sounds like you guys did your job, and you had some nice pairings.
We did have some nice pairings, yeah. Again, you know, I not just look at the bottom end, but sometimes you miss a team at the top end that sometimes just didn't perform as well as they could have, but also maybe stretched them a little thin on a moved them up a flight and maybe could have edged them back again. But yeah, seven playoffs. Some went four holes out
wow.
there. So some were done in one hole. And again, you just don't know how someone is going to respond in a playoff. Even the higher handicap golfers who normally will shoot higher scores will perform wonderfully in a playoff with a lot of eyes on them. And that's just not a norm. And then you get some teams who are, let's say, first flight and, one guy makes a par and three guys make triple bogey. And so, and you don't expect quite that. So, but everybody, I think everybody enjoyed themselves.
Yeah. Now you get ready for the Inner Club. What day do you guys have?
We have Saturday.
So Saturday at the yep. Elks, and then they'll wrap it up Sunday at Port Huron?
Yep. And Friday at St. Clair, alternate shot on Friday, two-guy alternate shot.
Tough format.
Very tough.
Tough format.
So that would be you hit off the tee, then McKillop shanks it into a sand trap, and then you chip it out, and then he putts.
Then he misses
and
the
then
putt,
you putt again.
And then I make it. You're not far off there. But, yeah, actually both players hit their drive, and then you decide after the drive.
Okay.
It's a tough format because you never want to let your partner down. That's the part. You can always let yourself down and miss a putt, but when you're up there and you got a four-footer for par, and you just don't want to miss it for him more than anything in that. But it's a quick format, too. You roll around the course pretty quick in the alternate shot format. And normally, whatever course you're at that day, the home team usually has a little bit of an advantage. It is their home course. They've putted on their greens for the most part all year. They know their idiosyncrasies of their course. So you usually have a little edge at your home course. So the last day at Port Huron, points are double. So the singles matches, when points get double, they'll have a little bit of an advantage right. on the last day. But we host the second day, Saturday. Hopefully the rain will stay away, and we'll get everybody in.
This is a question, Kyle, for the both of you, because I think you've golfed all three courses. What are the differences between the three courses?
They're huge.
Yeah, they're
not even close.
Everything's different. Port yeah. Huron, tough green surrounds, tough greens. Not quite as long as St. Clair, and not quite St. Clair probably the longest. Some long holes out there at St. Clair. You're coming in with some long shot, second shots. Greens are always nice at St. Clair too. Course is always in great shape down there. Port Huron on Sunday. I always think the green surrounds are tough. Deep bunkers, a little longer, rough around the greens. And so chipping onto them, it can be difficult.
Anytime you're leaving
your club that you play 3, 4, 5. Some of these guys play 6 days a week. Some play 36 holes on the weekends, play skins in the morning, go play, play another 9, 27 holes, whatever. Is the toughest thing when you're going from club to club is the speed of the greens and how they react to you chipping around the green. So, you know, like for instance, the Elks has is known for crown greens, and you have to play a certain way at the Elks to chip into them. Your approach shots in, you know, you have to carry it to a certain spot. If there's a back pin at the Elks, you cannot go for it. And then also, you know, what's the firmness of the greens? You know, how do they react as you're hitting a 100-yard shot in or a 5-iron or whatnot? So, you know, that's the stuff that really gets you. What Bo's talking about with the greens surrounds, Port Huron did a redesign how many years ago?
Yeah,
15 years ago, we'll say. And what they did was, from 70 yards and in, 60 yards and in, they basically redid the golf course. And their greens are now all tiered. There's basically three tiers on every green. Some of them have four. So there's a whole bunch of really tricky spots that you can put pins in. Not only that, but the surroundings is deep rough, deep bunkering. And there's spots you just plain old can't hit it. And then the other thing that makes it really probably most problematic, especially in their alternate shot, is the speed of the greens themselves. And every club uses a stimp meter but I'd say that every club average is probably 10.
Sure.
10 and a half. On some invites, they might get to 11, 11 and a half. I've played at the Elks in years where they were 12. But so then every home player knows the speed of the greens like the back of their hand. Now, some clubs, like we've done in the past, like the Elks has done in the past, is we want to get the golf course in good a shape as it possibly can be, and we want to impress everybody when they come here. So, especially in temperatures like we've had this past month, and I know they did it for the
sure.
invite,
yep.
the greenskeeper who has to do this will keep the greens a lot shaggier. He'll need them healthy. He want a lot of grass on there. And then come tournament time, he will trim them down, cut them twice, roll them, and then it actually becomes kind of a disadvantage because you're used to playing, you know, greens at a mm-hmm. certain pace, and sure. these other guys are coming and going, okay, I've got it in the first hole. So, you know, there's a huge home club advantage, and you always want to have in the inner club, you always want to have the singles matches at your place because it's double the points. And it really kind of puts an onus on these other guys coming in here where you get a chance to play your own golf course. But the one thing about this tournament, and I didn't play it as much as I could. This tournament always fell in for me the best tournaments around for me are the McDonald's, the Elks Invitational, and then the Riggin, which is all the best players play in all three of those events, or have historically for years. And to play in that inner club, for me, was 3 weekends of golf, which just was never going to work in a row. That's a lot of golf. So, but for 98.7% of these guys, this is their event. Being a member at this club, being around these guys, this is the event that they love the most. I'd say probably all three clubs, it's the same way.
I would think so too.
This is the event. Everybody talks about it. The qualifiers we've had at the club, it's probably more pressure than the club championship because these guys are dying to get an opportunity to play in this inner club.
Very well said.
Yeah. And the Elks has done very well.
Yeah, we've had some sharp pencils, as they say.
he said event. It. See, he said it.
In this event.
It's just being honest.
It is handicapped. There's six different flights, 0 to 7 being first flight, and then it goes all the way up to 20 and higher. So you have some flighting that you put your members in, which they are at that time, and sometimes they perform a little bit better than that. You know, we've done very well. I think this is our 19th year in the event. We were asked to come in it when Black River went.
Semi-private.
Correct. And
we've
had 10 wins in 19 years. That's not bad.
That's pretty good.
But in the last 3 years, every club has won the last 3 years. St. Clair won 2 years ago, Port Huron last year, and then us, or St. Clair 2 years ago, last year, Port Huron, scratch that. 3 years ago, St. Clair, 2 years ago, Port Huron, us last year.
And all three of the club pros are in a no-win situation. Scotty Rich, who used to be at St. Clair, I don't know who's at St. Clair now. Scotty Rich is general manager now.
Tim Child.
Okay, so Tim Child, Brian Bowman, and Joel Petey. They're in a no-win situation. If Port Huron Elks goes out there and dominates, well, now everybody's going to question, what is he doing over there? What kind of shops he running where he's letting these guys in the fourth flight shoot one? Because these are the stories you hear when you come in. We played against these two guys in the alternate shot. They shot 65 and they're fifth flighters. I mean, listen, that's golf. That's just the way this game is. Funny things happen in tournament. I'm not a guy that buys into.
Now wait a minute. This is a guy who a month ago made the argument against Anchor Bay and
we're not talking about two guys in an alternate shot.
You just said stuff happens.
Okay, but not that doesn't happen in golf. Never in golf are three teams going to improve by 30 shots. Never happening. Oh, by the way, they're the same three teams that are keeping each other's scores. I'm sorry, Bull. Is that happening? I forgot.
Has that happened? Could it happen? In a million years, it could happen once.
There we go. See, did you hear that?
So it could happen once in a million years.
Okay, then it happened the one time.
That was it could be suspect, but it could happen.
Yeah, push that button.
But maybe not this year. Maybe not in the next 100 years. But you're right, Bob. It's correct about the flighting and the handicap. We normally get for our interclub qualifier, we'll get anywhere from 60 to 80 guys trying to qualify for 18 spots.
Wow.
18 spots. We do the previous year, our club championship. If you win your club championship flight, you get an automatic berth into the following year's interclub. So it's it gives guys something to play for. Not just the first flight guys, but it gives something for the sixth flight guys to play for. So they've got something that...
Stock, you should see this tournament. It is something to behold. What ends up happening at the end of every year on the 18th hole, everybody who's played previous. So the way they set it up is, and again, it's hard to set up because you want the course to kind of move. So you don't necessarily have the best players playing at the end. So
we have them going out first.
Right. So we'll be done. And then as we go inside, have something to eat, come back outside. Now all the players that aren't playing from the club, from all the clubs, are now at they're basically tailgating around the 18th green. And it becomes, it's quite a spectacle. And like I said, for me being in the area since I've been here, this is the tournament that every single club wants to win. This is the tournament that means the most to every single player in the club.
All right, Bo, I know you got to get going here. So just a quick thought. You got a favorite for the British Open?
John Rahm.
All right.
I like John Rahm.
I know you like Victor Martinez
Woods.
What do you
mean he's got to go? You don't have to go.
I got till quarter two.
Oh, all right.
What time's it now? Yeah, I just stuff I want to pick your brain on here. He's not leaving yet.
I got to get Chase to Footloose tonight.
I get it. Who are you?
I'm in the ensemble, so I dance.
Oh, cool. So you're doing Everybody Cut.
Yes, practically.
Yeah, okay. Oh, man. You don't think I knew that, did you?
No. No.
Yeah, no.
I thought he was going to be Kevin Bacon.
No.
that movie came out when your dad and I were growing up.
Oh, no.
It was one of our favorites.
You grew up?
Well, stop. Well, we were. Well, good for you. That's awesome.
All right. So you like Rahm. You like Victor Martinez Woods.
Listen, we could talk about this forever. Do we have a break? Because he and I have some things we need to talk about here before he leaves. How long do we have?
Can you hold off for 3 minutes?
Yeah.
All right. Absolutely.
We'll do that, and then we'll be right back. All right. We are back with our rogues gallery here. Brady is doing quick research for when we begin debating later on. Brian Bowman is still here from the Elks, and Mr. Bobby McKillop is here as well.
Superior athlete, Bobby McKillop.
Yeah, I'm glad you pointed that out.
Coming up, let's see, next week, Steve Pilon will be here on Thursday
to
talk about the Robinson. And Blummer's coming. He just doesn't know when.
Okay, cool.
All right, so fire away.
Let's talk about Tiger.
All right, Tiger Woods.
Talk to me about where you think he's at. Is he going to win again? Do you see him competing in major championships? Will he come close to Jack's 18? What is the likelihood of him being able to survive the next 2 years and be able to play?
He's on his way back still.
He sure is.
He's on his way back still. Yeah. He'll win another major, and he'll win some other tournaments along the way. Sam Snead, I think, has got 83, and he's got 79. I'm sure that's in the back of his mind. People are numbers people. They want to be the top up there. And I'm sure you might see him playing more of the John Deere Classics, some other stuff. But now seems like his legacy now is to starting to be more personable with your other fellow players and the sponsors, and not so much aloof and away, and answers questions that are giving no information about yourself or your game or that. Now he seems like he's got more of that, but I think that happens later in life when you play that long, that you start to become, you start to look back at your legacy, and you don't want to be remembered as that, you know what, on the tour.
Yeah, well, maturity, and you learn from your mistakes.
Yeah, but I think he's going to win another major. If he wins, when he wins that next major, I think it'll fuel him for a little bit. He can play until he's 60, and I think he can compete until he's 60. Watson did it at the British Open, other than that hitting the shot over the green on...
Which was a great shot.
Was great, yeah, if he missed
great it... Great shot into the green. He hit 15 feet short of the pin.
And if it stays on the green, he wins the British Open at age 60. And Woods is, what's Woods, 40?
40.
40? He's got 80 more rounds and 80 more tournaments. I think he'll win another one.
Where do you see, obviously with Tiger taking the layoff that he had due to injury, and it's been basically since 2013 after he won it at the U.S. Open, where he went up against Rocco and our good buddy Matty Akitz, who was caddying. Obviously, from then till now, he hasn't won a major. He's been through a whole bunch of injuries. He goes through what he went through in his personal life. Where do you, if Tiger Woods doesn't win another golf tournament, if Tiger Woods were to shut it down tomorrow, something happens with his back, God forbid, where's Tiger Woods in golf for you?
Second.
Two?
Nicklaus.
So if nothing...
But the most important person is Arnold Palmer in golf. He's the most important. In my estimation, okay. He's the most important, but the greatest player would still be, I think, Nicklaus. Again, I didn't see the Hogans back in the day and those guys, and you only hear stories about Byron Nelson winning 11 in a row, but obviously he did. But what I saw and what, boy, there was nobody better than Nicklaus, I think.
All right. I like his answers. I got to cut you off. Sorry about that, Keller. But Bo, thanks.
You're welcome.
All right. All right, welcome back. Still talking golf. Brian Bowman's still here. McKillop hasn't scared him off. Brady's still here, too. He's patiently waiting his turn. We'll get there. I promise.
He's grumpy today, Stuck.
Because you came in. Here he was happy-go-lucky, coming down the road, thinking he's going to have a good time on the Dennis Stuckey show
today.
So now
he's mad at you.
And then you showed up.
We'll get some conies together.
I didn't, I mentioned yesterday that Brian was coming on today.
Yeah.
Because I thought you'd want to know.
Right.
And about a half hour before the show, I get the text from Killer saying, I'll be there.
I just got off the ice. I wasn't sure if I could make it, which is why I didn't want to commit.
And Brady had called me earlier in the day asking, is there a show today? And I'm certainly is. You're more than welcome to come by.
And a good show.
And he did. And
he's a little verklempt.
He's stewing.
Yeah, he is.
But that's good. He'll have the good fighting spirit in him when we get it going.
Hey, listen, we've talked about this before, and I've tried to explain it, but when you're in here, obviously, the Elks Invitational, there is a handicap involved, but that's you are the guy that has to determine who goes into what flight according to the handicaps that we're given.
Yeah, we got a committee that works with the handicaps and the flighting. And I start it. I put a preliminary one out there where we do it strictly by total team handicap, right in a row. 1 through 120 teams, and we break it down, and then we say, okay, now throwing the handicaps out the window, kind of the handicaps get you in a flight, but then throwing them back out the window, do we need to move anybody around? Has somebody performed well in the fifth flight? Do we need to move them up?
So Chad Stocker and Mr. Vigiano are playing in the championship flight next year.
They have a great opportunity if they come back to move up.
They because they actually won the whole event shooting 205 in the second flight and won by 14.
Uh-huh. But let me tell you, there's a big difference between second flight and first flight.
There's a huge difference.
Mindset-wise.
Huge.
I mean, it's still the same player. They're still the same players
totally
as they
different.
Go out. But it's a little different teeing it up in second flight than it is in first flight.
For sure.
It's just a little mental difference.
Which you saw this year, a whole bunch of guys who've never been in first flight were in first flight and didn't fare very well. because all of a sudden they're playing in the flight.
In the flight.
So it's now kind of all the – it's you can hide in the second and third flight, and people go, wow, man, you guys played great. Everybody wants to know when's championship flight slash first flight. Mm-hmm. Everybody wants to know who's in that and whatnot. Okay. So that process goes and whatnot. You and I kind of had a sidebar conversation this morning a little bit, but, you know, and I've talked about this at great length. Because there are two full handicap events here in town, which is the St. Clair and the Port Huron Invitational, anybody out there who's telling me that two partners get together and go, hey, what's your handicap? I'm a 7. Man, you got to get that thing down to a 4. Okay, that's not happening. And this is all across the country. This
that's never happening.
This isn't in Port Huron. This is everywhere you go. Burning Tree has an invitational. All these full handicap. So, you know, and handicaps, basically, I'll tell you how the handicap works. Every single time that I play golf, I shoot a score, and then I am supposed to post my score. So whether I'm playing with Brian Bowman in a match, or whether I'm playing with Mitch Buczynski in a match, or whether I'm playing against Joey Falk and Mason in a match, no matter what it is, whatever score I shoot, I'm supposed to go post the score. Well, it also works the same way if I'm playing with Brady, if I'm playing with you, anybody that I'm playing with. So I'm in control of my own handicap. He and I were having a discussion this morning. I don't think there's really a way that you can really honestly have a legitimate handicap. I mean, what's the way that if we were to come up with a system, just you and I, and say we're gonna try and fix every golf club in the United States of America, we're gonna try and fix every tournament, and we're gonna have the fairest handicap we possibly could for every player. And like you and I talked about this morning, you and I, with the group of people we know, we can handicap everyone. Fair? Mm-hmm.
Sure.
No matter what they put in the computer, you and I could go.
No matter what.
He's a 4. He's a 6. You know, and we'd even go, you know what? 4 might be a little bit low. We'll give you a 5. 7 might be a little high. Let's give him a 6. And nobody would complain. But that just doesn't happen. But give me some, if you and I were to try and fix it, what would be some of the ways we can do it?
I would fix it by only tournament scores. Only tournament scores. If you're going and playing in an event, it's the one thing you're going to, 99% of guys are going to try their hardest in that event. And so you're going to get your maximum effort right there. So by putting just tournament scores in, you're going to get your best results. But going out and playing with your girlfriend at 8 o'clock at night and getting a quick 9 in, and you're just knocking it around, and you're normally a 1 handicapper, and which you're going to shoot 36, 37, or 38, and you go out and shoot 43, 44 because you're helping her swing, and you're
and that
you're
goes in the computer. You're throwing that
but
out.
But guess
right?
what? Goes in the computer.
Are
but
you if throwing
you
that
put,
out?
You are throwing it out. But if you put enough in there, they start taking them. So tournament scores are your top-notch number to look at. But what Bob said earlier is correct on that, on the point where a good golf pro will in essence know everybody in his tournament, and he'll know where they're at. He'll know if a guy says, oh, I'm an 11 handicapper. My GAM says I'm 11. You're a 9 or an 8 in this event.
And you have to do that every year.
Yeah.
Every year you have player A, B, C, or D mad at pro ball.
Oh, sure. Yeah, we got the... We
see, it's not just you getting people mad at you. It's not just you.
If I go out and I'm shooting 90 all the time, what's my handicap? It's bad, isn't it?
You're probably around a 15, 16, 15.
And the higher number is bad.
Yeah, you want to be as low as you can. It goes 2019, 0, plus 1, plus 2, plus 3, plus 4. It's people who... You know, I've been with people where I've played with a plus golfer, and I said, man, I played with this guy today. He was a plus 4. Oh, yeah, what's your handicap? Well, I'm a 1. Oh, did you beat him? No, he's a plus 4. He averages 4 under par per time he plays, but it kind of gets confusing. But, you know, and we've had this argument for years. Every single club's had this argument for years. You know, you get in these tournaments, and club, especially club championship time, you'll have 13s and 14s competing for the club championship for a day and a half.
Yeah,
they're in the mix, shooting 72. Whereas... I'm not shooting 62.
No.
That's not happening. But their 73 equates to a 80% 62. I mean, so, you know, but that happens all the time. But, you know, there's really no way that the USGA or the GAM or anybody can really, we can't fix it unless we fix it ourselves. And unfortunately, that's as long as you're handing out $250 shop credit for winning a full handicap event, two guys are going to be sitting on the phone going, can you get to an 8?
Yeah. That's why we enjoy ours, is we can move people around that have performed well. We can move them up two flights, and vice versa. If a team comes in as a combined 30 handicap and they're supposed to be in the fourth flight and they have been dead last, you keep edging them back until they find their spot that they can compete in. That's what it is. You just want to compete, and you want to be fair from top to bottom.
And it's really funny. I was sitting at a table. I played in a one-man scramble as a guest out there this year, and I was sitting at a table, and he was having kind of conversations with a couple guys at the club about, flighting stuff. And they said, listen, these guys have to move up. They can't be here. And he immediately got up from the table, walked into his office. He has the last 25 to 30 years, we'll say.
Results.
And he goes, that's what they shot last year in the second flight, 219.
Yeah.
They're not going up. And these guys were like, well, no, we thought they shot 207. No. So, I mean, there's lots of stuff that goes into it. He has what he just went through the last week, just in the tournament alone, okay? Forget about that. What he went through for the last 2.5 to 3.5 months, basically maybe even 5 months, to get prepared for this golf tournament, it is the most, to watch what these guys do, all the pros in the area, Joel Petey, Brian Bowman, the guy with St. Clair.
Oh, Tim Child.
No. Scotty Rich.
Scotty Rich.
They all. The work these guys put in, it's
the pre-work. That's,
I mean, you think he gets to come in looking like this, a golf pro, and he hangs out there drinking coffee all day and whatever. These guys, all three of these guys, Mark Thompson out at Marysville, all these club pros, if you've ever been a member of a club, we're so fortunate in this area to have the people that we have. And Brian Bowman is one of these guys that is very well respected around the club, and people love him. Obviously now he's the general manager as well. But
thanks, Bob.
These guys don't get the props that they deserve. It's a thankless job, I'll tell you that.
Oh, it's thankful. There's an inner thanks too.
You're the only guy thanking
me. No.
I mean, you have to understand. Anytime there's a problem. Whether it's rules, whether it's, shouldn't be there. The stuff I could tell you about guys just basically coming up with, hey, look at this. Yeah. This has got to happen. You got to understand.
Every tournament, you got about, 24 guys that like you and everybody else doesn't.
the 236 players in our men's invite, we have a great membership. And about 230 of them were wonderful.
Right.
You just miss on a couple. You just miss on a couple. And you try to focus on the 230 than the 6, because you can't focus on the 6. It'll just bring you right down.
Anyway, from me and anybody who's been a member, anyway, thank you for what you do. We appreciate what you do. And,
thanks.
And you look great, by the way, today.
Well, thanks. I got to get the sticks going for the rig. And Joe Falk is my partner. And if I can just help him out a little bit.
How can you guys not be right there?
It's me. it's me. That's how.
It's the alternate shot, too.
It's the alternate
tough
shot.
Format.
Tough.
That rigging's tough. It's always been the best players. It's
a great format, too. Yeah. It's fun to play in.
Great golf tournament.
But the alternate shot is, if you can survive alternate shot, just survive it. It's even par.
Where do you play that one, or do they move it around?
No, it's Port Huron Golf Club.
Okay.
Yeah, we play 27 on Saturday and 27 on Sunday. So 18, best ball. 9 alternate shot, then you come back the next day, 9 alternate shot, and then back to 18 best ball. You're surviving. You're going to make birdies on your own ball, and your partner's going to make birdies, and you're going to falter on the same hole every so often. It's the alternate shot that really makes the difference there. I mean, if you can go around and even par, a little high, a little low, you've got a good chance.
That tournament has so much history. Some of the greatest players in around have been in that tournament. Schulteis has played in it. Joel's partner,
John Traub,
Johnny Traub, is playing in it. Legendary player around Michigan. Dennis Riedel, obviously Joe Marikas. I mean, it's Marcus started. Marcus and those guys started how long ago?
Gosh,
95 maybe 94. And it's one of the legendary tournaments around here for sure. Yeah. So
awesome tournament.
Mason and Joy teaming up in that one. We're allowing Mason and Joy to play in that one.
In what one?
In the Riggin.
No,
are they together?
I'm with Joe.
No, Mason and Joe Marika.
Oh yeah, Marika. Yeah, they're
allowing them to play in that one.
They are allowed to play in that one.
Okay, well, that's good.
I'm going to stay out of that.
You better. You best stay out of that one. We are going to stay out of that one.
Because I have definite thoughts on that, and it's probably going to make a lot of people unhappy.
Yeah, but before you go anywhere, I was making a little joke. Here's the reality of it, and I'm just going to tell everybody that has whatever they want to say about this whole thing. If Mason Mott were playing in the championship flight, he's alone. The teams, there are not strong enough teams to play against the Mason Mott. They're not.
No.
Until they come back, and if they were to come back, I'd love to try and get that flight up to a point where we can have a championship flight, but, I mean, the guy would have been by himself. End of story. Whether you like it or not, that's the reality of it.
Yeah. And like I said, if he plays, there's only one team in that flight because he far outdistanced everybody else. So you don't bring the next team up just to fill a flight or compete. You want from top to bottom.
Stucky, I promise you this. Next year, I'm going to take off my little hiatus that I've been on. I will recruit 7 or 8 teams to play where everybody can play. If I have to do it myself, I will.
Okay. Brian, thanks again for coming out. Good luck to the Elks this weekend.
Yeah, we're going to need it. There's some good teams.
I got news for you. They don't need it. And, I was looking at the sheet today. I'll be the first one since I'm an innocent bystander.
He's got to stay out of trouble, so he's doing the right thing.
So I'm an innocent bystander. I'm going to call it right now. The Elks win's going away.
No, I wouldn't say that. There's some good teams out there. Port Huron's got a good team this year.
Port Huron's got a great team.
They got a good team this year.
So does the Elks.
St. Clair has an awesome team this year. We're gonna if we win, it's gonna have to be. We're gonna have to get some good breaks. That's what we're gonna have to have.
No, people. Remember when we have this conversation on Monday?
He's got to go, McKillop.
I got it.
We'll be back.
Elks win's going away.